Chapter 15. Becca laced her fingers behind my neck as she met my tongue, and I let her enjoy herself as long as she wanted while I leaned over her in the throne.
"Have a seat,"
the blonde purred as she released me. Then she stood up and guided me to sit on the replica throne. The velvet cushioning of the seat was unbelievably comfortable, and it was wide enough for two people, but the gorgeous blonde stayed standing. She bit her lip as she placed her hands on my thighs, and with her leaning forward for another kiss, I got an amazing view of her cleavage. Then her tongue was dancing inside my mouth, and she gently bit my bottom lip. I could feel her hand trailing up to rub my inner thigh, and when Becca broke away from the kiss, her big brown eyes looked down as she began to unzip my pants as I lifted my hips. Then she pulled down my jeans and boxers and got on her knees, and she started rubbing my rock-hard cock while she blinked up at me.
"Can I have a taste, my lord?"
Becca asked innocently, and my head almost exploded from the soft tone of her voice. "Of course you can," I told her. The blonde Brit smiled sweetly before she dipped her head over my erection, and she gently lapped at the tip of my cock with her tongue. When she started to ease her full lips over the shaft, her eyes darted up to mine, and her cheeks turned the most delicate shade of pink. I groaned with pleasure as I watched Becca slowly take more and more of my dick into her warm mouth. And then she started to bob up and down and suck. I grabbed a fistful of her blonde hair while she moaned around my shaft. But then she took my entire length deep into her mouth, and my cock scraped against her throat. "Oh, fuck," I gasped, and Becca's next moan reverberated through my entire dick. Then the gorgeous blonde slowly pulled my cock from her mouth, and she looked up at me with a coy smile. "Get those clothes off," I growled, and she stood up and promptly stripped for me until she was completely naked. Becca's amazing supermodel curves made me feel weak, and she giggled while she did a little turn and let me appreciate the view for a moment. The glittering chandeliers left tiny flecks of golden light all over her creamy skin, and she looked like a sexy princess with her blonde hair tumbling down around her shoulders.
"Can I join you?"
Becca asked with a little smile. I nodded because I was too turned on to form words at the moment, and the sexy blonde sauntered over. Then she climbed onto the throne to straddle me, and I grabbed her small waist and pulled her close. Her hand slid down to my cock as I palmed one of her large breasts, and as she started stroking my shaft between us, I ran a thumb over her taut pink nipple. "You look so beautiful," I whispered.
"It feels so naughty being this naked in such a fancy room,"
Becca giggled. "I think you look right at home here," I said, as I stooped forward to pull her nipple into my mouth. Becca gasped.
"Jason..."
The blonde whimpered while she kept massaging my dick.
"I want to fuck you on this throne. I need to feel your cock inside me."
I released her nipple, and I found her already pouting at me. "I'll let you have my cock," I assured her. "You have to be patient." Then I slid my hand down between Becca's open thighs, and I slowly ran a finger along her pussy lips. She was soft and slippery with arousal, and when I slid just one finger inside her tight entrance, she bit her lip. I kept my gaze on Becca's big brown eyes as I slid a second finger inside her, and she gasped once more while her hand pumped a little faster on my cock. She was soaking wet within seconds, and I brought my other hand to her breast while I kept sliding my fingers in and out of her tight pussy. Then she moaned and started to bob up and down on my fingers, and her beautiful face flushed pink while her amazing tits bounced ever so slightly.
"Fuck, Jason,"
she moaned. "You like that?" I asked. But then I ran a thumb over her clit, and she couldn't even respond. The blonde threw her head back and shivered with pleasure as I started to massage her clit in small circles. Her grip on my cock tightened like a vice, and her breasts jiggled as she started stroking me with firm and fast movements. I kept finger-fucking her while she panted over and over, and watching her writhe on my lap in the light of the chandeliers was one of the best views I'd ever had.
"I'm gonna come,"
Becca gasped as her brown eyes locked with mine. I pushed my fingers deeper inside the blonde and moved my other hand up to grip the back of her neck. She whimpered in my hold and writhed her hips. And as I pumped my fingers in and out of her pussy even faster, she reached her peak.
Oh, yes!
Becca moaned as the walls of her slippery tunnel spasmed, and she climaxed on my fingers. She was so caught up in her pleasure that she couldn't even keep her hold on my dick, and she had to clutch my shoulders instead while she shook through her orgasm. Then I slowed my movements to help bring her back down while she gently rolled her pussy against my fingers, and I stroked her bright pink cheek. "Did that feel good?" I murmured.
"Oh, yes, Jason,"
the blonde purred.
"Everything you do to me always feels so good, but..."
Becca bit her plump bottom lip and pouted at me, and I grinned as I pulled my soaking wet fingers out of her pussy. "But you need my cock, don't you?" I asked.
"So bad,"
Becca moaned.
"Feeling you come deep inside me is like my favorite thing in the world."
"I know it is," I whispered as I took hold of her hips, and I moved her so she hovered above my rigid cock.
"I want to be dripping with your baby batter by the time you're done with me,"
Becca pouted. "Oh, you will be," I growled. "Now fuck me." The gorgeous blonde giggled and nodded sweetly, and she slowly lowered herself down onto the tip of my erection. Her juices dripped down my shaft, and I moaned as her tight pussy started to take in my cock 1 inch at a time. Warmth rushed over me as she lowered herself down further and further, and the whole time, Becca kept sending me the same blushing pout I loved so fucking much. Her big brown eyes fluttered closed when she finally fit my full length inside of her heated tunnel, and her soft thighs tightened around my hips. "Holy shit," I groaned, as she started to move up and down my shaft. "Becca, oh, your pussy is perfect."
"Do you really like it?"
she asked coyly. "You know I fucking love it," I growled, and I roughly gripped the meat of her ass. The beautiful blonde gasped in return as she bounced a little faster, and the slippery warmth of her tight pussy around my cock drove me wild. My fingers dug into her supple ass cheeks as I took one of her nipples in my mouth. Then I gently grazed the bud with my teeth, and Becca squealed. I gave her a firm spank to make her moan nice and loud, and she started to claw at my back as she thrust it more urgently. Her body was soft and warm all over, and her blonde hair tickled my face while I suckled harder at her nipple. She felt absolutely incredible, and I groaned and bit at her tit as I started to thrust upward to meet her movements.
"Oh, fuck!"
Becca gasped.
"That's so, so deep, Jason!"
I grinned and released her nipple, and Becca was bright pink all over. "Is this how deep you want me to come in you?" I growled, as heat built up all over my body.
"Yes, please,"
Becca begged.
"Fill me up nice and deep, Jason. I need it so bad. Fuck, I want your baby."
"Oh, yeah?" I teased. "You really do, huh?"
"Oh, so bad,"
the blonde moaned.
"I'm probably preggo already, but just put a baby in me right now."
I chuckled and thrust harder into her sopping wet pussy, and the blonde grabbed the throne behind me to brace herself. Her brown eyes were wide and sparkling as I kept her hips slamming down onto mine, and her supple body shook all over from the force.
"Oh, fuck, Jason,"
she whimpered.
"Your cock feels incredible. You're so deep. I have to come. I can't wait anymore."
"Yes," I groaned as I watched her creamy tits bounce. "Come for me, Becca."
"Oh, please, come inside of me,"
she begged through panting breaths, and the desperation in her eyes sent me over the edge. The blonde screeched as I gave her one final deep thrust, and ecstasy shot through my entire body as we climaxed together. Warmth rushed down my cock, and my seed gushed into the beautiful blonde's tight pussy while she wailed toward the ceiling. Her heated walls convulsed repeatedly to keep me pumping more and more sperm into her, and I was dizzy by the time my pleasure finally started to ebb.
"Oh, that was so nice and deep,"
Becca moaned.
"Thank you, Jason."
"Anytime," I panted as I closed my eyes, and I let my forehead rest against her shoulder. Becca's pussy was scorching hot and still quivering around my shaft, and I gently cradled the blonde in my arms while I stroked her lower back. Her fingers were trailing circles through my hair, and when I finally recovered enough to sit back, she left the sweetest kiss on my lips.
"I hope you just put a baby in me,"
the blonde whispered.
"I want to have your child so bad."
"If that doesn't do it, nothing will," I chuckled. "Becca, you felt so fucking good tonight. I might actually pass out. I came so much."
"Well, you can pass out in bed,"
Becca giggled as she slowly slid her pussy off my cock.
"Oh, come on, let's get back to the others. They're probably so lonely in that big bed without us."
"I hope we didn't get cum all over the throne," I said as I stood up and grabbed my clothes. "I know it's only a replica, but can you imagine Gerald's face if he finds cum stains?"
"I think I got most of it inside me,"
Becca purred as she wriggled into her jeans.
"I'm squeezing my pussy so it stays in there nice and good."
"Good." I sent the blonde a wink. Then she grabbed my hand, pulled me out of the room, and giggled as she turned off the chandelier lights. The two of us hurried through the darkened corridors and tried to find our way back to the stairs, and Becca giggled every time we hit a dead end. Even in the dark, I could tell how pink her cheeks were, and her smile was so big I couldn't stop grinning too. Something about taking my dick that deep inside her always put Becca in the most playful mood. I let her drag me all over the castle, but I pinned her against a few walls to kiss her along the way. Eventually, we managed to find the steps up to the second floor, and we hurried up hand in hand, and finally reached our hotel room. When I pushed the door open, the room was dark, and there were gentle snores coming from the bed. I helped Becca strip out of her clothes once more, while she did the same for me, and then we climbed in beside Kat and Haywan. I smiled as the sleeping girls snuggled up to us at once. The bed was so warm, and my body was so exhausted that my eyes couldn't stay open another second. I couldn't form a single thought aside from how happy I was, and Becca left a soft kiss on my chest just before I fell into a deep and peaceful sleep. It seemed like only a minute had passed when the light above the bed suddenly turned on.
"Morning, sleepyheads,"
Kat said. "Urgh," I mumbled, and threw my arm over my eyes. I heard the pretty soldier laugh nearby, but it took me another minute or so to resurface. When I finally got my groggy eyes open, the sexy corporal was still getting dressed beside the bed. Her hair was wet from the shower, and she stood topless as she buttoned her pants. Those amazing golden breasts were enough motivation for me to sit up. "Wow," I grinned as I watched her put her black lace bra on. "That is the way to wake a man up in the morning."
"What time is it?"
Becca grumbled beside me, and I looked over to see she was face down on her pillow. Haywan sleepily rubbed her eyes as she sat up from Becca's other side, and the Korean beauty yawned as she looked over at Kat.
"Ooh,"
Haywan said.
"Kat is looking good. You should wear no shirt more often."
"Agreed," I said, as the soldier pulled a black tank top on.
"It's just before 6.
Kat tucked her damp curls behind her ears.
"I thought we should get up in time for breakfast before we head off to fix the ship."
There was a gentle knock at the door, and we all turned to look at it with surprise.
"What the fuck is that?"
Becca mumbled from her pillow.
"Did someone order room service?"
Haywan carefully pulled the blanket over Becca's naked butt, and then she nodded at Kat to open the door. I was surprised to see Adhara standing in the hallway, and her fingers twitched nervously by her side as she gave Kat a smile.
"Hi,"
the soldier said.
"Everything okay?"
"Yes,"
the lilac woman nodded.
"I wondered if we could all have morning food together. Maybe bacon?"
Kat laughed and opened the door wider, and she gestured for Adhara to come in. "Morning," I smiled. "We'll get dressed. Hey, Kat, could you..." My boxers hit my face mid-sentence, and the corporal was grinning when I dragged them off my head. "Thanks," I chuckled. "I'm guessing you're an early riser too, Adhara?"
"I do not need much sleep time,"
the alien replied. Then she quickly looked away when she realized I was wrestling with my boxers under the sheet. Adhara kept her gaze averted while I swung my legs out of bed and headed into the bathroom, and Kat let out a soft whistle as I passed. I jumped into the shower for a quick scrub, and the water woke me up while I listened to the muffled chatting of the girls in the next room. Then I brushed my teeth and dried myself down, and I made my way back into the bedroom to get my clothes. Becca and Haywan were up too, and they took turns using the bathroom as I pulled on a fresh pair of pants and shirt that Gerald had stacked on the dresser. Adhara's fingers twitched as she purposely looked at the ceiling, and I smiled at her as I laced up my boots.
I'm going to need about 6 coffees,
Becca yawned. Then the blonde Brit swung her rifle over her shoulder, and Kat opened the door for us all. We piled out into the hall, smelling like a cloud of soap, and we clomped down the stairs toward the lobby. I don't even know if anyone else will be up, I said.
Gerald will,
Becca snorted.
Mum told me he gets up at 5 most days to set the tables. That's cute,
Haywan said.
Is it?
Becca asked, and I gave her a nudge. You won't be complaining if you don't have to make your own breakfast, I said.
True,
the blonde nodded.
I just can't help taking the piss out of him. It's so easy.
We made our way down to the lobby without running into anyone else, and I could already smell coffee as we headed for the dining room. Sure enough, we found Gerald setting tables when we walked in, and he had one table piled high with toast and condiments. Morning, I said as we headed for one of the tables. Thanks for always doing this so early. Good morning, the dark-haired man replied, and he continued to set out cutlery without looking up. My body clock wakes me up early, so why not take advantage of it? I would simply go mad if I didn't have any tasks to do.
Understandable,
Kat chuckled.
Routine is important.
Gerald chuckled softly, and he nodded in agreement until he saw Adhara looking at him. Then he startled a bit, but the lilac woman didn't seem insulted.
Bacon?
Adhara asked hopefully. Not today, miss. Gerald shook his head. Apologies, but we must ration it, so toast it is today. We have freezers full of bread, so breakfast is usually toast.
Okay,
Adhara nodded.
Peanut butter?
That I can help with, Gerald said, and he actually smiled at her as he pointed to a small jar. I hope crunchy is okay.
Crunchy,
Adhara repeated, and I had a feeling she had no clue what she was agreeing to, but it was adorable. I went over to the table that was piled with food and filled up a plate of toast. Kat grabbed the peanut butter, and Haywan picked up a teapot and French press of coffee. Then we settled down in our seats, passed around the food, and filled our cups. Adhara spread a thick layer of peanut butter on her toast first thing, and she happily took a massive bite which left crumbs and peanut butter all over her purple lips. Becca offered the alien a napkin, and I chuckled into my coffee as Adhara nodded stoically in return. We had the dining hall to ourselves for most of the meal. A few people started to drift into the room after a while, though, and they gave us nods and smiles as they settled down with their own food.
Have you talked to your mum more yet?
Kat asked, as she sipped her tea.
About going to Korea?
Not yet,
Becca sighed.
I don't know if she'll freak out or be excited, but I should probably update her on that whole thing pretty soon.
Well, this should be our last day of spaceship repairing, I said. If everything works, then we'll be packing our bags by the end of the day.
My father would not believe it,
Haywan said smugly.
All the strange things he has done in his life, and I am the one who will arrive in a spaceship.
It's a pretty big flex,
Kat grinned.
He'll probably lose his mind over the weapons, too.
Hey, Jason, that's your inn,
Becca realized. What? I chuckled.
The weapons,
the blonde gasped.
We'll play it off like you're the one who owns all the awesome weapons, and Haywan's dad will be so impressed.
What are you saying about my weapons?
Adhara asked with slight alarm. Nothing, I assured her. Your weapons are fine.
I'm just spitballing here,
Becca shrugged. I smirked and shook my head while the girls quickly finished up their food, and the dining hall started to fill up more as we stood to head outside.
Morning, honeys,
Debbie said, as she strode over the hardwood floor with electric blue heels and a matching dress.
Had your breakfast already?
We have,
Kat nodded.
We're off to put the final touches on the ship.
Oh, lovely,
the blonde woman grinned as she poured herself a coffee.
Is the ship going to fly today? Remember, you said I could get a go, Adhara.
I remember this,
the alien nodded.
It did not happen long ago.
You're so funny,
Debbie chuckled and turned to her daughter.
Now, we have some things to discuss, little miss.
Yeah, we're so busy right now, Mum,
Becca replied. Then she turned on her heels to beeline for the door, but Debbie hooked one of the belt loops on her jeans and dragged her back.
You be careful out there,
Becca's mom said, and kissed her daughter's cheek.
And hurry back in if you see any of those scaly bastards moping about.
Yes, Mum,
Becca sighed. Haywan snickered and linked arms with the blonde Brit, and we all headed for the lobby. We greeted a few people we passed along the way, and Joey offered me a quick high five.
Got the graphite powder?
Kat asked over her shoulder.
I have it,
Edhara answered. I've got some as well, I said, and pointed to my jacket pocket. I don't know how much you need, but hopefully we've got enough.
Just a small drop,
Edhara said.
You must keep the rest here for future emergencies.
Ah, yes,
Becca chuckled.
For the next time an alien crashes on the hill, befriends us and needs help with their UFO. Yes,
Edhara nodded.
This is why.
I laughed as we entered the pantry, and there was a new woman guarding the entrance this morning. She looked to be middle-aged, and her black curly hair was tied up in a bun. She had a pile of knitting in her lap, and she seemed to be making a green scarf.
Oh, hello,
the black-haired woman said as she got up.
It looks like a lovely morning out there.
Kat and I helped her move the fridge aside, and then she unlocked the newly reinforced door and stepped back. Thanks, I said, while we all pulled our sharp guns around to the front. We're not sure when we'll be back, hopefully not too long.
No problem, dear,
the woman replied.
I'm Sheila. Just give me a shout if you need me.
I stepped up to the door and opened it just enough to see out into the courtyard. There were no signs of movement or suspicious shadows, and I couldn't hear anything other than some birds in the distance. I think it's clear, I told the others, and I opened the door to step out onto the gravel. The morning sun was breathtaking out over the water, and the sky was a mix of pink and pastel blue. The air was warm and still, and I took a moment to stare out at the cloudless sky.
Whoa,
Kat whistled.
It really is a nice morning.
Your sky is interesting colors,
Edhara observed and tilted her head to the side.
It looks good.
Yeah, Earth has its moments, I chuckled. We like the place. The beautiful alien smiled at me, and her silver freckles shimmered with the sunlight on them. Her green eyes were bright and friendly this morning, and I noticed how relaxed she looked. There was an excited energy about her, too, and I knew she was eager to get her ship up in the air again. I glanced around to make sure we were still alone, and we started to jog over the courtyard toward the grassy hillside. We kept quiet as we made our way down to the spacecraft, and the clear sky made it easy to check that there were no flying dinos approaching. A few lines of MI-5 vehicles were parked to the right, but Kat and I did a quick detour to make sure no smaller dinos were hiding between the black vans and cars, and then I hurried after the girls.
I will turn off force field,
Edhara said as we came to a halt beside the gleaming ship, and she disappeared into the craft. The sound of the birdsong was louder further down the hill, and it made the whole atmosphere feel more normal, despite the spaceship and the fleet of government vehicles sitting around.
I didn't even know we had any birds left,
Kat said as she glanced over at the trees.
I guess the dinos only wanting human flesh has been a relief for the animals.
Yeah, it'd be nice to be a bird right now,
Becca chuckled. The force field buzzed off, and Edhara waved us inside from the corridor. We hurried after her, and a wave of excitement washed over me as Edhara pulled out her packet of graphite powder. This is it, I grinned. The finishing touches to get us in the air. Edhara swiftly went into the weapons room, and she grabbed her bag of tools from the cupboard and returned with a slight bounce in her step.
I'm so excited,
Becca squealed.
I can't believe we're going to fly to Korea in a fucking spaceship! Oh, shit! I don't have my bikini!
Kat said with a raised eyebrow.
Why would you need a bikini?
Jeju is an island,
Becca said.
That means there's a beach.
Dino sharks, I reminded her.
Sunbathing with my alien gun right beside me,
the blonde Brit tossed back, and I smirked at the imagery.
I don't think we're going to have time for sunbathing,
the soldier said.
We do actually have work to do when we get there, remember?
I'll squeeze it in,
Becca said with a wave of her hand, and Haywan snickered.
You would love the cocktail bar,
the Korean said.
And the spa is really nice, too.
The what?
Becca asked with wide eyes.
Oh my god! We can have a girly spa day!
Hurrah,
Kat said with absolutely no enthusiasm.
Would you be more interested if Jason's naked and steaming with us?
Haywan asked, and the soldier grinned immediately.
Yeah, all right,
Cat agreed.
Spa sounds nice.
I don't know if those will still be running, I laughed. I mean, as awesome as Heiwan's dad is, he probably also got hit pretty bad with the whole dino thing.
No, don't ruin the dream,
Becca said.
We go to Korea, use the radio, stop the attack, all the dinos fall down dead, and then I have a Long Island iced tea and a massage. Long tea?
Edhara asked as she sat down and opened the panel at the front of the ship.
What is long tea? Is there short tea, too? Oh, God, girl.
Becca snickered.
Have you ever been drunk? Drunk?
The alien furrowed her brow.
Getting drunk is not a danger on my planet. Getting eaten is more likely.
No.
Cat laughed.
Being drunk is when you've had too much booze. Alcohol. You know, the liquid that makes you feel good or bad.
Heiwan added.
Depending on how much you drink.
Edhara said, as she rummaged through her tools.
I do not know this liquid. Maybe I will try it.
Absolutely,
Kat said.
But just not when you're flying the ship.
Why not?
The alien asked.
I like to feel good when I am flying my ship.
Because it messes up your reflexes, I explained. You could crash. Edhara snorted and waved a hand as if that was a ludicrous suggestion. And she hummed to herself as she fiddled with the wires inside the control panel. The sound made her gills flutter, and it seemed to resonate through the walls of the ship.
I don't know which is more exciting,
Becca said.
Going to a spa or getting Edhara drunk? I am looking forward to drunk,
the alien said.
I like liquid and feeling good.
The girls chatted excitedly about Korea as Edhara fiddled with the inner workings of the ship. I wanted to let her work without distractions, but I was so eager to see this thing up and running that I had to remind myself not to check in with her every few seconds. The beautiful alien stuck out her tongue as she worked, and she examined a thin, pink wire carefully before she sat back and sighed.
It will take a while,
she announced.
I need to put more graphite powder than I thought.
Have we got enough? I asked, as I crouched down beside her.
Oh, yes,
Edhara nodded.
But I will need to secure a few other wires, as well as the brain wire.
Okay, I shrugged. That doesn't sound too bad. Can we do anything to help? The floor started to vibrate before Edhara could answer, and we looked all around in confusion.
Oops!
Becca snickered.
Sorry, Edhara, I was just leaning on the controls. I think I hit the extra seat button.
The alien looked down at the sleek, seatless floor and scowled.
You did not press the controls,
she said.
That is Omati.
My stomach dropped as the vibrations in the floor grew stronger, and I sprang to my feet with a cold sense of dread flooding my veins. Then my mouth fell open as I looked out onto the hillside through the front window. Down at the bottom of the hill and emerging from the woodlands was the largest herd I had seen to date, and carnivorous and herbivorous beasts lumbered along side by side. There were so many different species of dinos that I couldn't even guess at a number. Stegosauruses, Utah raptors, pyroraptors, and triceratops were just some of the creatures I could see along the front of the group, and they walked at the same slow, methodical pace as one another, despite their size differences. Fuck, I whispered. A mega herd was on its way to Raven Hall.